Kia ora, tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 413. Today is Friday, April 26th, 2024. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it? I hope you're well. I'm actually doing okay. Been very busy since I last recorded, including doing things I talked about last time. At least I think I did. It's been so long, I'm not entirely sure, and I haven't had a chance to listen back. Now, I am busy today as well, so I am going to record this episode and probably not edit it. So if there's a lot of extra ums and uhs and I repeat myself a lot of times, that'll be why. I figured I would be better off to just record it and just post it and, you know, let the chips fall where they may, rather than trying to be a perfectionist, because that's part of what gets in my way. I've recorded this episode probably 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I don't know. I've lost count because I often record it over what I did rather than keeping previous versions. And it had to do with my voice wasn't right, or I didn't like the way I put things, or I felt it was just not right. It wasn't what I wanted to put out, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. You wouldn't know it to listen, but I am. And so I just didn't do it. And one of the things I missed, because I haven't been recording for so long, is the 17th anniversary of the Emirates podcast, which was at the end of March. And that's why this episode is called 18th Season, because this is the first episode of the 18th year of the Emirates podcast. So there you go. And my blog will turn 18 in September. Not that you're counting, but I certainly am. So I have been extremely busy doing all sorts of different things, not necessarily earth-shattering or anything like that, but it actually started back in February, right after my most recent episode. Most recent, that's a bit of a stretch, but anyway, back in February. And on Monday the 5th, I started what I eventually ended up calling my week of little projects. And technically, none of them were projects. It was the week that was the project in a sense, because all of them were little tasks that I wanted to do that I just hadn't gotten around to, in some case, for many years. For instance, sometime after I shifted into this house, but before the first COVID lockdown, so we're talking January, February, March of 2020, I bought some magnetic catches for doors, for the linen cupboard, which is in the house, and the two-door cupboard that's out in the garage. And it's because they have no catches of any kind. And they didn't tend to blow open or anything. It's just that it helps keep them closed. I can give it a bit of a push, and the magnet will pull it closed. It's just tidier. So I got those, and I fully intended on installing them during lockdown, but I just never got to it. And I haven't ever since. So it's been 4 years, and I still haven't gotten to it. Well, that's one of the things I did. Also, after the first lockdown ended, my mother-in-law and I took the dogs, I was three at that time, over to a town called Cambridge, which is an hour and some away from where I live, to have the dogs groomed. And while we were there, there's a curtain shop there, and I wanted this thing that it's called curtain holdbacks, usually, here. And what they are is they're loops that attach to the wall, and when you open a curtain, say, over sliding doors, to say to the patio, for instance, which is where I wanted them, you can put the curtain behind the hook so that it doesn't go billowing out the door in the wind. And I was having issues with that when I opened the sliding doors, because there's two sets in the living area. And at our previous house, the last house Nigel and I had, we had some, because there were deck doors everywhere. There's 1, 2, 3 sets, I think, plus they also had some on windows. But those were the kind that stick out from the wall. And a couple of times I bumped into them because they're at hip height. So it's if you're not careful, you can bump into them, especially if other furniture is too close to them. And I didn't want that. Also because when the curtains are closed, it pushes the curtains out. So there's these bumps at both ends of the curtains on either side of the door. So I wanted the kind that fold flat against the wall when they're not in use, and which I don't even know how I found out about them, but I knew they existed. And I Googled, and I found only one place in New Zealand that sold them, and that was this curtain. It's a chain of curtain shops. And so I went there, and they had them, in a sort of brushed silver, and also in what looked to me to be sort of a browny, burgundy, very dark reddish-brown color. And they had two sets of those, two sets of two each, but they only had two of the brushed silvery one. which is what I wanted because it went more with my appliances and stuff. So I thought, oh. But they had the two, and I thought, I'll just get that. So I did. And that's where they sat. So that's the better part of 4 years as well. And so I installed all those. I had to move one down. Move it up because I measured too low. But I got them all there in the end. And they work great. I've used them several times, especially when I let Leo out on a stormy day, because then the curtains don't blow out and get wet in the rain. So it's been really good so far. I got them up a little too late to get much summer advantage out of them, but, you know, be that as it may. But when I opened the packet, I looked at them and I thought, these aren't red. They're actually more of a dark charcoalish color when I looked at them in daylight. And that goes well with the colors that the builder chose for things like the carpets and stuff. So it actually ended up being a happy accident. So I was fine with that, and I ended up getting it done. Finally. And all the other things were similar projects that some of which I've talked about before, like I put the hand towel holder in the ensuite, which that had been sitting on the windowsill in there for, I don't know how long, a year, 2 years, who knows, in its box. And what I finally decided was it didn't really matter where I put it, because if the place I chose was wrong, I could always move it. I'm really good at patching holes in walls after all these years. I had to do that, as a matter of fact, when I moved that curtain holdback. When I put it in the wrong place, I had to patch the holes and move it up. So I thought, you know, I don't really have to be this particular about things. And in the end, I got all but one project done, and or task or whatever you want to call it, and that was about doorstops, because I wanted to put a metal door, a magnetic doorstop behind the front door to hold it open, so when I'm bringing stuff in, if the wind catches it, it won't slam shut. And same for the internal door to the garage, so that it won't slam shut. But then I started thinking about it, and I thought, oh, I don't know, this may not be the right choice. And part of it is because they're longer than standard door stops, and so it pushes them out a little bit. And also the front door is metal. And I thought, do I really want to go down that road? Because, you know, it's easy enough to patch a wood door if you decide you don't want it, and you have to, you know, fill in the screw holes. On metal, it's much more complicated. But so I thought, I'm going to do something else. And then I think I've gone back to that, and I probably will install them now. But that's the only one I never even attempted. There are a couple I did twice, and both times failed. So those are off the list completely now. I'm not even going to try to redo those. And I had a final one. I've complained endlessly about my ensuite and the mistakes they made, about how the light over the sink is off-center, which really annoys me. But the main thing is it's so far so close to the wall that it's in a really weird place, because if, say, I'm trying to trim the hairs on my mustache and I'm getting close to the mirror to try to see better what I'm doing, my face is in total shadow. If I pull back enough that my face is lit, then I can't see what I'm working on. So I got this battery powered, well, it's rechargeable, USB rechargeable LED light to put over the mirror. And I stalled on that for the longest time because it's attached to the wall with 3M command strips. And I've had so many failures with those. And I thought, this is going to come off the wall. I'll probably take the paint with it. And it's over the sink, so it would hit and it could very well break apart. And I thought, oh no, I'll stick it to the glass. But then I noticed that when I got out of the shower, that there was always condensation on the top of the mirror of the glass of the mirror. And I thought, that's probably not the best place because there's going to constantly be moisture around it. And then I suddenly realized that the base, it has a powerful magnet in the middle of it. That's what holds the thing up. But I also realized that I could just drill a couple holes in the base off to the side and use wall anchors, you know, the kind that are designed for a jib, plasterboard. And that would hold it. And it's worked perfectly. And I have used it, usually only when I'm trimming my mustache. But I have used it. And it is just enough light on my face to make a difference. And so that was a good thing. And that was another thing where it was stalled for a long time because I couldn't figure out what to do. And then suddenly I knew. And so I did it. And all up, I there were about 8 projects that I knew of when I started all of this. Because I made a list on the Sunday before I started. Unusually. And then when I opened the box with all the parts in it, it turned out there, I think there were a grand total of 11 all up. And so, you know, there's only one I didn't even start and 2 that failed. So all up, I think that's pretty good. So that's the main thing I did. That was at the start of February. Later on in the month, I went up to our house on Auckland's North Shore, where Nadja and I used to live, which is now a rental. And it was between tenants, and it was my first chance to get inside for 7 years. And the reason I know that is because after we shifted out in February of 2017, we went back to finish tidy up some loose ends and, you know, get the last of the stuff out, patch some holes in the walls, that sort of stuff. And neither of us ever got a chance to go back. And then, of course, after Nigel died and I shifted to Hamilton, then there were all these endless lockdowns, and it was impossible to go in or out of Auckland for a very long time there. And so I just never made it back. Well, the good news is that the house is in pretty good shape inside. I mean, it's a bit tired. It could do with being repainted and new carpets, but everything else is in pretty decent shape, all things considered, which is good. The grounds, however, are not so great, and I have to take that up with the management company. But anyway, that's my problem. But it's long been my thinking that I had three options. I could sell that house, do up this house, make it absolutely the way I want it in the end, or I could do the opposite, sell this house, go up there and redo it and live there, or I could sell both of them and do something completely different. So that was in my mind when I went up there. And the first thing I thought is I went around the house, and I've blogged about this, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I walked around the house, and it felt sad and tired and lonely, partly because it was empty. There's no furniture in it, obviously, because the tenants had shifted out. And I saw the things that the tenants did, like they took down curtain rods and just put them in any old room instead of putting them back. I mean, come on. But anyway, and it just, because I could see all the things from our life in that house. We lived there for just over 10 years, or about 10 years. It's nearly 11 years, actually. And it was a very happy time in that house, all things considered. And it was weird going back there when, and you know, since Nigel's died and since it was empty and we hadn't lived there for many, many years. And it was odd. But the house itself was fine. I didn't feel like it was bad or anything. It just didn't feel like home per se. But what really got me was the street, of all things, because when we lived there, the street was very wide. It felt very wide and open every time I drove back from the supermarket or whatever. But it's not like that anymore. And that's because in the years that we've been away, only 7 years, they have torn down or otherwise removed a lot of single-family homes and built townhomes on the sections. In some cases, you know, 2, 3, 4, I think one of them has 6. It's probably a double section. And they're 3 stories, and I believe they have 1-car garages. And so assuming that they're flatting situations, and most of them probably are, there could potentially be, 6 cars that have to be parked somewhere. And so where do they park? They park on the street. And what was once a very wide road, or wide feeling anyway, is reduced to just over a lane, maybe a lane and a half in width, because there's cars parked on both sides. So if 2 cars meet going in opposite directions, somebody's got to pull over so that the other one can get through. And so I hated that. I absolutely hated it. It reminded me of, I don't know what, but it felt claustrophobic. And I did some stops in the area while I was there before I went back to Hamilton. And the rest of the area was fine. It's changed a bit, but it still had the same good vibes that I felt when I lived there. It was just the street I didn't like, and the house I wasn't so sure about anymore. But then I got on the motorway to head back to Hamilton, and it's hard to describe, but the entry ramp from that area is just across the harbor from Auckland, the Auckland CBD. And so I looked at it. The sun was shining. There were white puffy clouds in the sky, and it was a beautiful sight. I still think that Auckland's skyline, especially from the North Shore side, is one of the most beautiful I've seen in the world. And I think part of the reason is because it's small, it's compact, and so that you're not overwhelmed with urbanness. And so I got teary. I wanted to cry, but I didn't, because I was on the motorway and I thought that would be bad. So I persevered and got through and got back to Hamilton. But it threw me for a loop because, as I said, I'd had these three notions of what I could do going forward. And I think that one's pretty much off the table. I mean, nothing is completely over until it's over. And unless I sell the house, that's still an option. But I think it's unlikely I'm going to go back to Auckland. Much as I love it, it has everywhere in New Zealand has its problems. And Auckland is no different. But Auckland has a lot more problems because of its size. I mean, a third of the country's population, roughly, lives in the greater Auckland area now. And traffic is horrendous, and they're having trouble paying for infrastructure. Well, every community is. So, yes, I think that's off the agenda. And so those are some of the things that were going on at that time. Meanwhile, when I was still in Fiji, I don't remember if I mentioned this, but I got a message from my doctor's office telling me that I now qualified for a free shingles vaccine and the flu vaccine because I turned 65. And I'm thinking, oh, woohoo, happy birthday. But the thing is, I learned later, I looked it up, this shingles vaccine is only free when you're 65. If you're 64 or 66, when you get your first jab, because there's two, you have to pay for it, but not if you get the first jab at 65. I have no idea why that is. It makes no sense to me. But nevertheless, I scheduled an appointment, went in and got the jab, and then I'm eligible for my next one sometime in May, I think, although I'll probably get it in June because I've got other jabs to get in the meantime. So, yeah, so I went in and got that. And the flu vaccine has always been free for me anyway because of my other health conditions, but it's now doubly free. Maybe they'll pay me to have it. And I also I had to renew my driver license because our driver licenses expire every 10 years on your 5 birthday. So my last one was at 55, and at 65 it expired again. And because I had the LASIK eye surgery, those many years ago, I've always been concerned about those machines they use at a driver's license place, which is, it's private. The government doesn't do that anymore. They contract that out. And so last time when I turned 55, I went to an optometrist and got an exam, and they can fill out and sign this form that says I'm okay to drive. And so I thought, I'm going to do that again. Plus which, when I last went 10 years ago, the optometrist said that he saw some early signs of cataracts and have to keep an eye on that. So I thought, well, it's probably a good idea to get that checked. And to be fair, I hadn't planned on waiting 10 years to go back to the optometrist. The issue was that not all that long after that exam, we shifted away from Auckland's North Shore. And then, of course, Nigel died and everything changed and COVID and everything happened. So I picked a place that was closer here. That was here in Hamilton, other side of the city for me. But it's only like a 15-minute drive under ideal conditions. And he's found no sign of cataracts. He did extensive scans of extensive exam of the inner eye. And he also did a high-res scan of the connection with the optic nerve to make sure everything is hunky-dory and everything is fine. It's all perfectly healthy, no sign of cataracts. So I don't know what the other guy was on about. But what I did do is I got a pair of prescription reading glasses. I don't need glasses to see, to drive, or to do anything out in the world, but I do for close stuff. And I have two strengths, partly because when they did the LASIK eye surgery, they did two different strengths or whatever. I don't know what you'd call it when you're changing the eye. But anyway, they have different prescription needs now. And I've always used reading glasses from the supermarket or chemist or whatever, and they're the same in both eyes. And they don't have little screws, so you can't like buy two pairs and flop them around or whatever. So, yeah. So I got a pair. I forgot what you call it, but it's kind of like modern bifocals, where the top part of the lens is supposed to be ideal for computer monitors and a bit further away. And also the lower part of the lens is for reading up close, like a device or a book or whatever. And I have found them to be fine for the close stuff, but the far stuff doesn't work very well. And part of the reason is because I don't move my head a lot when I'm working at the computer. I don't look straight ahead and then just look down to see what's at the bottom of the screen. I don't move my head down. I do move my head down is what I meant. And so because of that, I was constantly having to readjust my head. It's like I was nodding at my monitor. So I'm not responding very well to that. And the other thing is I got some lenses, some frames rather, that I liked when I was at the optometrist. And they're much bigger than I have been wearing. And that's a problem because I often, sit and watch TV in the evening and play on my iPad. Leo's often on my lap. Actually, he's on my lap right now, sleeping. And I would look over the lenses to watch the TV. Well, these lenses are too big for that. If I push them down so I can look over the top, then it's out of focus for my iPad or whatever. So if I had it to do over again, I would have gotten them only for reading up close, not for computer work. The ones I use for my computer are ones that I found on Nigel's desk after he died. I knew they were there. It's not like they were a mystery. And they actually worked better for me than any of the other ones that I found so far. So that's what I'm doing. I mean, it's possible that I might eventually get prescription lenses for a computer monitor, but just, you know, as separate glasses. But that's down the road. I don't need them now. I don't go back to the optometrist for 2 years. So I don't think it's urgent in any way. And as it happens, part of the reason I wanted to go to that optometrist, I don't know if part of the reason is the right word, but a bonus is that the AA, Automobile Association, it used to be called, is a few doors down, and they do driver license renewal. And I was in and out in 10 minutes tops, whereas the place I go to get the warrant of fitness for my car, which I also had to do in February, takes hours and hours. Well, it feels like it anyway. I think it was an hour and a half last time I went, an hour and three quarters or something. So they were very nice and friendly, and they got me to join it as well, because being a member, you get roadside assistance, and they'll come out and jumpstart your car if you should need that, and all sorts of stuff like that. But the main thing is that because I'm alone, I like to have a backup for things like if the car breaks down, that I've got something, someone to call on, because you know, family's all over the place, and sometimes they're not even in town, and I don't want to have to rely on someone, and instead I have this thing to help me in case I have a car breakdown or something. So I did all of that, and other than that, I haven't really gotten a lot done. I haven't done a whole lot of stuff around the house that I can think of, just sort of maintenance, because it's been a trying year. I knew that 65 was always going to be, I always knew 65 was going to be a trying year. Partly because, I mean, hello, it's 65. But also because my 60th, only 5 years ago, was with Nigel. And he's not wasn't here for my 65th. Plus, he would have turned 60 in a couple of months, a few months. And then after that will be the 5th anniversary of when he died. So I always knew that this was going to be a difficult year. And it's been pretty much what I expected. I don't think it's been worse than I expected. Or better, for that matter. It's been pretty much what I expected, which I suppose is a good thing. I don't know. But I don't know what, I still don't know what the future holds, obviously. I think that Auckland is probably off the agenda now, probably. But I've also come to realize that I have to readjust my thinking, because the future is completely different now, not just because Nigel died, but because I'm getting older. I have no idea what my aging is going to be like. I don't have any frame of reference because my parents were both dead at 63. So I'm already older than they ever were. And I don't know what would have happened if they had aged. Would they have become feeble and, you know, need a walking frame and all that sort of stuff? I have no idea. I only know that my father's father lived to be 91 or 92 or something like that. And he did have a walking stick, a cane. But he didn't, other than that, he was fairly there. He hadn't lost his marbles or anything. So maybe that's an indicator of what I could be like, given the fact that we're talking about 50 years since he's died, I think. So, and medicine has advanced, and there are treatments and medicines and things now that didn't exist when he was still alive. So maybe I'll be okay. I don't know. But in the longer term, I want to be in a urban environment, because I want to be close to doctors and chemists and hospitals and all that sort of stuff. But I also want to live within walking distance of a shop to pick up a bottle of milk or whatever. And I've talked about how that doesn't exist where I live now. I can't walk to any shop anywhere. It's far too far. And I have to drive if I want a bottle of milk or more. Although I could get groceries delivered if I want. But the point is that I have to drive anywhere to do anything. And so, yeah, when I renewed my driver's license, I got my 10-year license, and I realized that means it expires when I turn 75. And the license at that year then goes down to 5 years. And then at 80, it renews every 2 years, and one will probably have to get a medical certificate as well as a vision certificate, a medical certificate to indicate that you are medically sound to drive. And so I imagine that somewhere in my 80s, I may very well give up driving, but it kind of depends on how fit I am if I reach there. And the odds are that I will make it to my early 80s, demographically speaking. And if I make it that far, I'll probably make it farther. But, I mean, that's the way these odds work. But I don't know. So I think what I've decided to do is to focus on 5-year plans instead of 10-year plans like Nigel and I used to do. Because I'm older and because I'm on my own. And so in 5 years, I'll be 70, and I should still be reasonably fit. After that, it becomes much more iffy, but I'll work that out once I get to 70 and try to figure out what's next. It's entirely possible I could live in this house for the rest of my life. I mean, 20, 30 years. Let me be more specific. Or 2025 is probably more realistic. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what the future holds or where it's going or where I'm going to be and so on. All I can say for sure is that I don't know, which is an odd thing to say, I guess, but that's the way it is. But that pretty much brings you up to date on everything. Well, not everything, but the gist of what I've been doing, the important stuff around what I've been doing. There's been a lot going on in New Zealand that I haven't commented on anywhere, not even on my blog. And I probably should do an update about that because a lot has happened. And I will get to that next time. But I think that's it for today. That's it for this week. That's it for whatever, the first few months of 2024, the first episode in the 18th season of the Ambrons Podcast. But that's it for today. As I said, I'm not editing this, so hopefully it's not horrible. I'll talk to you soon. Ka kite ano. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Ambrons Podcast at ambronspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can visit and comment on the Ambrons Facebook page, or you can email me, with or without a voice message, at ambrons@gmail.com. This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Network and is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.